You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. It's Crossover Thursday. I'm excited to team up with Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants to start breaking down Sunday's upcoming matchup between the Seahawks and Giants at Lumen Field. Going to be a jam-packed episode. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. For much of the season, defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. has been under fire, and understandably so. Seattle has been setting records, and they weren't good ones. Giving up over 360 net passing yards per game for 8 games and positioning yourself to obliterate the single season record held by the 2011 Green Bay Packers, that's going to put you on a hot seat if you are a play caller. But while I've understood that criticism, I do think praise is warranted right now for Ken Norton Jr. as well as the front office and the rest of the coaching staff. As maligned as this defense has been, John Schneider knew he had to go make a move before the deadline, and he went out and he did it. They got Carlos Dunlap from the Bengals. He's been fantastic. 4 sacks in 4 games. The rest of the defensive line has elevated their game because of his presence. And Pete Carroll knew that the defense was struggling, as did Norton. They have worked and worked looking for a fix, but they haven't been afraid to adapt. And while it took time for the results to start showing on the field, it does seem like Norton has found something to maximize the talents of his players within Seattle's scheme, and it's all about the bear front. And to make this simple, a bear front is a variation of the 5-2. You have 5 defensive linemen and 2 linebackers. More specifically, 3 defensive tackles and 2 wide defensive ends or hybrid linebackers who can rush the passer or drop back into coverage. The 2 off-ball linebackers, typically you're going to have really athletic guys there. If you don't have a 3rd guy off-ball, you want 2 guys that can really cover, have athleticism to be able to move an open field. Seattle has 1 nose tackle head up on the center and 0 technique. The other 2 defensive tackles are in 3 tech, and that means they're covering the B gaps between the guards and the tackles. And then your edge defenders are in what's called wide 9 alignment. They're well outside the tackle. I asked Pete Carroll about this yesterday. They've definitely been playing more bare fronts this year than years prior, and really it just comes down to the personnel that they currently have. And this is what Carroll had to say.
It is, you have seen us adapt to our personnel, and we have, you know, we have enough background that we can do a lot of things. We've been through so much over the years, and I think Kenny is exhibiting to you that the use of our talent, you know, and Jamal's part of it. Jordan coming to us as well is part of it, and absolutely it fits, like we've said to you about Carlos. You know, his work as a 9 technique, which puts him outside edge on the, you know, to the field in our defense, puts him exactly where he can be really most effective. And so I'm thrilled that you can see it come together. It's taken us a few weeks. We weren't quite there. We wanted to work with Bruce in that edge position. And when we lost him, we took a couple steps back to get kind of reoriented. But I think the defense is really moving now, and I'm really excited about where we're going.
Looking at that quote, obviously he didn't get too specific. He's not going to spell out everything the Seahawks are doing defensively. But what it boils down to, the bare front allows Seattle to use Puna Ford as the nose tackle. He's the one that's head up on the center, and against the Philadelphia Eagles, he was dominant from that position, especially as a pass rusher. LJ Collier, Jaron Reed, Rashim Green can all play the three tech roles. And especially when you're talking pass rushing situations, third and long, second and long, LJ Collier and Rashim Green are nightmares to deal with there because of their athleticism. They might not be the most athletic defensive ends, but when you reduce them inside to play that three tech defensive tackle role, it is really a challenge for guards to deal with those guys. And so that's brought out the best in those two players, being able to use them in this capacity. Jamal Adams can play either one of the edge spots if you want. He can be one of the off-ball linebackers. You can blitz him in a number of different ways. He can blitz through the A-gap. You can blitz him off the edge. You can get really creative. And he also has the speed to be able to handle coverage duties at that spot. So some people are going to say, well, then he's a linebacker, isn't he? Well, that's, you know, he's got some linebacker traits. He's got some safety traits. He's just a very unique player. And then Jordan Brooks, you can say the same thing about as far as being a true athletic linebacker in today's modern NFL, a guy that has the speed to handle those coverage duties. You can blitz him. He's a very sound run defender. He's growing each game. The bear look is a good way to deploy his strengths. And really, as Carroll outlined, Carlos Dunlap is the thing that puts all this together, because he is the perfect 9-tech Leo defensive end for the Seahawks. He has the size, 6'6", 285 pounds, great length, a very good athlete at that size, very instinctive. He can beat you with power, he can beat you with finesse, a very sound run defender to go with it. And so adding that piece to the puzzle has really just made everyone else play better, because he's just, and this is just a perfect system fit. Like Pete Carroll said, this is the perfect position for him. They hoped Bruce Irvin could be that guy. He gets hurt. They struggled to replace him. Dunlap brought in. Now that issue has been resolved, and the rest of the defense is playing better as a result. So really, if you're looking at this Seahawks defensive turnaround and you're looking for a simple explanation, there are obviously other factors here. You're getting some players back. The chemistry is getting developed back there. But it'd be wise to simply call this the year of the bear for the Seahawks, because they're running this front a lot and they're finding success doing it, because it maximizes the skill set of the personnel they have. For that reason, give Ken Norton Jr. and the defensive staff props. They have made adaptations as the years progressed, and now you're starting to see the fruits of that labor. They have found something that's clicking. They're going to keep getting healthier. They're going to get some other players back. The chemistry is going to continue to grow, especially as Jamal Adams, Shaquille Griffin, and company continue to play games together. And so it feels like they're just scratching the surface of what this defense could become. We'll see what happens. There's only 5 games left to go, but certainly an exciting development for this football team. When we return for the second quarter, I'm going to be teaming up with Patricia Traina for our Crossover Thursday episode. We're going to be breaking down every last detail about the Giants and the Seahawks heading into this Week 13 matchup. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As an avid runner and weightlifter, it's never easy to stay on top of your game. Whether I'm trying to increase my max on bench press or cut my best mile time by 10 seconds, there are always obstacles and you have to find a way to power through them. What is your wall and how do you run through it? For me, I turn to Built Go, the healthy replacement for your energy drink. Coming from the makers of Built Bar, you know it's top quality and delicious. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, it's the best workout gel on the market without the crash feeling you get from products such as 5-Hour Energy, because it's all natural with 1/3 of the caffeine of a monster drink. Built Go comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Loaded with the good stuff to help me power to my goals, it includes fast-absorbing collagen protein, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to help me get going and promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Welcome, New York Giant fans, and welcome to the Seattle Seahawks fans. My name is Patricia Traina, and I'm joined by Corbin Smith, and we are on the crossover show, the weekly crossover show for the Locked On Podcast Network, Giants at Seattle Seahawks. And Corbin is here to break down the Seattle Seahawks for us. Corbin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this game, especially with the Giants playing really good football here. Looking forward to having a competitive game, especially with the Jets coming up in week 14.
Oh, geez, that's going to be a rough one for you in terms of watching it anyway. But anyway, Corbin, let's pick your brain a little bit about the Seahawks. And I think we've got to start with Mr. Wilson. What makes him such a pain to defend against?
I think it's just the ability to beat you with his arm and his legs. And he's had more issues with turnovers this year than he normally has had. And so that's been the one downside of the whole let Russ Cook movement. But he's got both of his running backs back now, Chris Carson back there. As Brian Schottenheimer says, we've got Carson grilling and we've got Carlos Hyde making desserts in the backfield. So they've got the entire culinary assortment now on offense for Seattle. And so they've been struggling a little bit the last few games, but Russell Wilson's ability to throw the deep ball, maybe Patrick Mahomes is the other guy that's in the mix, but those two are on another planet in regards to throwing those 50, 60-yard bombs. And then DK Metcalf is the perfect receiver for a quarterback that throws the ball downfield like that. And so his ability to beat you deep, his ability to maneuver the pocket, get inside, go up the pocket, bounce outside, extend plays. Even at 32 years of age, he's still fantastic at doing that. And so when he's able to escape the pocket, extend plays with the receivers they've got, it just makes life really difficult for defenses trying to slow him down.
You mentioned DK Metcalf. He's been a topic of conversation over with the Giants because of his sheer size and his physicality and whatnot. When I look at the tape, and granted, I haven't looked at it as detailed as you have, but it looks to me like Brian Schottenheimer is maybe deploying Metcalf a little differently than he did last year. Do you see that? And if so, what do you see as being different?
It's interesting because Schottenheimer all season long, and then before the season even, was talking about, we're going to be able to move DK Metcalf more in the formation, more in the slot, change up which side that he's on the outside. And based on the tracking numbers, I haven't had time to do all this myself, but Pro Football Focus, I looked at their numbers compared to last year, and it's very similar. He's played a few more snaps in the slot this season. He's played a little bit more in the other opposite end on the outside rather than just being the X receiver. He's played some Y as well, but there hasn't been a real stark discrepancy there. So as far as where they're lining him up, it hasn't been a big change. But I think the real difference here, you can just see he's a more polished route runner than what he was last season. And he doesn't need to be the most polished route runner because he's so darn good at the go ball and the slant, and corners and safeties come up and try to hit him on a slant, and they're the ones that end up on their butts when they try to tackle him because he's basically Hercules in a football uniform. So I think the ability to run routes more crisply and just have a better understanding of what he's doing out there, coupled with the physical gifts and the work ethic that he has, is really what the real difference has been for him this season. And he's still 22 years old. That's the scary thing. His ceiling, he's not even close to it yet.
Yeah, he's quite the specimen, like I said. I mean, a big guy, and I know I've been trying to figure out ways that the Giants might approach taking him out of the game, or at least minimizing the damage he can do, while also keeping an eye on Tyler Lockett. Let's talk a little bit about the running game. Chris Carson, I guess, is back. He's been running the ball well. I mean, what's different about him than, say, like in the past?
I don't know that there's necessarily anything different about Chris Carson, and it's just been an issue staying healthy for him. He's missed a lot of games due to injury during his career, but there's a lot of people out there that argue running backs don't matter, and I get the argument that the position itself compared to some of the other spots on offense maybe aren't as valuable, but there are a select few number of backs that really are game changers, and Chris Carson is clearly one of those. This team was just not the same end of last year when they didn't have him. He was out for the playoffs with an injury to his hip. They missed him the four games he was out this year. Their identity just isn't the same when they don't have him in the backfield. He forces the defense to respect their run game. And Carlos Hyde is a fine running back in his own right too. But Chris Carson just has different DNA. He is in that select class of running back that really can change how defenses play against you and have a tremendous impact on your offense. And so just simply having him back on the field last week against the Eagles made all the difference. He only had 8 carries in the game. They're trying to wean him back in, but He had a beast mode-esque touchdown run for 16 yards, just willed his way into the end zone. And Pete Carroll, that's the kind of running that he wants back there. So Chris Carson checks off all the physical gifts, the toughness, the work ethic, everything that Pete Carroll wants in a running back, he has. He just has to stay healthy.
Now, we have to talk about the offensive line because obviously it all starts up front. And if I'm not mistaken, the Seahawks line has been shaky, I guess is a good word to use. What have you seen from that unit?
Really, most of the year, the offensive line has been really good. It has been the last couple weeks, and they've had some injuries. And really, the best one of the best additions they made this offseason was bringing in Brandon Shell, who struggled with the Jets. But just getting out of New York has really helped him, and he's been really good for them at right tackle. Did not play against the Eagles. Cedric Abueyi was in for him, and the former first-round pick out of Texas A&M really struggled against the Eagles, gave up a bunch of pressures, struggled in the run game, had a huge holding penalty that wiped out a Carlos Hyde touchdown. And so they've had some injury issues. Ethan Posick, their center, missed a couple games, but he's back. Mike Iupati's been banged up on and off this season. He's had durability issues. So that's been the biggest problem. And I think with those injuries, you have seen a little bit of a regression from that group the last three or four games. But most of the year, they've been really good. Dwayne Brown's been playing at an all-pro level most of the season. So I think they're confident they can get the ship righted if they can just get the entire group back healthy.
And, of course, that group is coached by the king of the lasagna, Mike Solari, who used to be here with the Giants a few years ago. We used to call him the king of the lasagna because he used to boast about being able to make the best lasagna going. So just a little side story for you there. We're talking with Corbin Smith. He is the host of Locked On Seahawks, co-host of Locked On Seahawks podcast. And, Corbin, let's talk about the defense now. Got to start in the backfield there. Let's talk about you mentioned a former Jet player, Shell, before. Jamal Adams, what has he brought to the table?
Well, he was out for four games with a hamstring injury earlier in the year, and certainly the Seahawks missed him while they were giving up historic passing yardage totals. The first eight games this year, Patricia, they were giving up 362 net passing yards per game. They were on pace to obliterate the Packers' single-season record for passing yards given up by over 1,000 yards. But the last three games, things have changed dramatically. Some of it has been helped by who they played. The Cardinals' offense is outstanding, and they held them down to 21 points a couple weeks ago. The defense has really turned things around, and big part of that has been Jamal Adams' return to the lineup. They're figuring out how to best deploy him, and he's just such a unicorn. You don't see safeties that are elite pass rushers, and that's exactly what Jamal Adams is. He has 6.5 sacks in 7 starts, and they're starting to figure out how they can blitz him without, you know, compromising the defense, and he's playing better in coverage the last couple games. He's getting more comfortable with the scheme. The chemistry in the secondary is improving. Their four guys that were supposed to start this year together in the secondary have started one game together the entire season. And so they are really starting to figure things out as they piece together that secondary, get some guys back healthy. Still no Quentin Dunbar back yet, but they're hopeful he's back next week. And then this group can really turn things around. But the last 3 weeks have been night and day compared to the first part of the season where they were just basically allowing offenses to pass the ball at will. They now are giving some resistance, and a big part of that has been Jamal Adams and just his aggressive nature and the energy he brings to that defense.
Now, moving up towards the pit, Bobby Wagner is a guy who I look at his stats, I look at his game, and I say to myself, okay, the Giants could probably kiss goodbye the 100-yard game streak that they have going on now because, you know, they've just been that good against the run. Bobby Wagner still has it. Who else has been so instrumental in defending the run game?
Well, I think it actually starts up front when you're talking about defending the run. The big fellas in the middle, and they're just now getting Damon Harrison going too, former Giant. He wasn't with the team the first few weeks of the season. Then he had to get back in shape, but he's been helpful in short yardage situations. He's been playing more snaps the last few weeks. Puna Ford is playing like a Pro Bowler, borderline all-pro player the last 4 weeks. He has been fantastic. He's gotten 13 quarterback pressures the last four games. His run defense has always been stout. It's like a crash test dummy running into a wall when you try to run at Puna Ford. And so he's been playing great. Jaren Reed's playing well. Carlos Dunlap has been a fantastic addition, not just rushing the passer, 285-pound guy that is really good at setting the edge too. And so I think it has started with that front line. And, of course, Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright, two guys that aren't showing any signs of slowing down, still among the best linebackers in football. And rookie Jordan Brooks is making a lot of progress the last few weeks too, and he is a phenomenal athlete at the second level. So there's a number of reasons that run defense has been really good, but I think it starts with the guys up front, particularly those defensive tackles that have been playing so well, and they only got better by adding snacks to the mix there.
Yeah, Damon Harrison, still a very good player. I remember him well when he was here. Super guy, by the way. I don't know if you've ever had a
chance. He's a lot of fun. Oh, yeah.
He's just a sweetheart, a big old sweetheart. I wanted to ask you about Carlos Dunlap. I know they acquired him from the Bengals. What has he brought to that defensive front? And I know he's also been playing with or has an injuries. I think he's questionable or was questionable last week. What's the status on him? And again, what has he brought since coming over from the Bengals?
So he was healthy going into Monday's game. He exited early with a sore foot. It sounds like the Seahawks are optimistic he's going to be able to play this week. But if he misses a game, the rest of their defensive line has been able to step up their game since he got here. I think that's one of the big things, is just the domino effect on the rest of this defensive line, because the first eight games of the season, the first seven really, they had 9 sacks in those first 7 games. They now have 31, and we're only in week 13. So that has been the Carlos Dunlap effect. He has made it much easier. Just his presence, he has given them a bona fide pass rusher that opponents have to respect and they have to game plan for with their pass protection. And that has allowed Jaren Reed, Puna Ford, LJ Collier is having an outstanding second season after basically his rookie year was a wash. The numbers aren't great, but if you watch the film, you realize just how valuable he's been to this defense. All of those guys, though, have picked up their game just simply from having a player like Carlos Dunlap, who I can't believe is only a 2-time Pro Bowler. He has been really good for a really long time, and this is a perfect defense for him, playing that wide 9 technique, and they're running more bare fronts to match with those defensive linemen that they have. And so Pete Carroll, the schemist, has been really enjoying having him there, because he's just that perfect long, powerful edge rusher that also can handle the run, that can play that Leo spot.
Who's the one player, offense or defense, that isn't getting a lot of discussion, a lot of mention, that you think people need to really watch out for?
I'm going to go with the guy I did my film breakdown on earlier, Puna Ford. He has just been outstanding, and it still baffles me how you can be the defensive lineman of the year in a conference as big as the Big 12 playing at Texas, and you don't even get a combine invite. He doesn't get drafted, makes the Seahawks roster as an undrafted free agent signing. He's a full-time starter beginning his second year, and now this year he's always been a really good athlete. His height is what docked him. He's only 5'11", but he's got uncharacteristically large, long arms for that height. And so he's got great leverage. He's got the long arms to separate. He's got a great quick first step. And now it's translating to rushing the passer. And so that is a name that people need to know. 13, like I mentioned earlier, 13 quarterback pressures in the last 4 weeks. He's been a great run defender since Seattle got him. And now he's the complete package. I think you can make an argument with the way he's played the last month or so. He's playing like a top 10 defensive tackle in this league.
Good stuff, Corbin. It should be a good one, hopefully a competitive one. Want to thank you for the insight. Folks, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to flip the page, and I'll talk Giants, answering Corbin's questions, so stay with us.
Welcome back to Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, joining Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants. And Patricia, we've got this exciting game coming up on Sunday. And I don't think a month ago that we would have been using the term exciting, talking about this matchup with the way the Giants started their season. But now they've won 4 of their last 6. One of those losses, they really threw away an opportunity to beat the Buccaneers. I thought they were going to win that game, and they just couldn't finish it off. So this team has been playing outstanding football, and so I've had it circled for a few weeks because I really like what they're doing on defense, And the offense has been making some progress despite missing Saquon Barkley. And now they've got the quarterback situation to deal with. So let's get to that here first. Daniel Jones has had his struggles in his second season, more interceptions than touchdowns, but he's shown his dynamic athletic ability, even with his trip that he had in that one primetime game. But he's a very underrated athlete. What are they losing not having him potentially being out there this week and having to go with Colt McCoy, a journeyman who's been in the league for a long time and has some mobility but isn't the athlete that Jones is?
Yeah, I think you hit that one right on the head. I mean, Colt McCoy can move around if he needs to, but you're not going to see him necessarily lead the team in rushing as Daniel Jones has a few times. But I think the biggest thing that they are losing is the arm strength. You know, Daniel Jones's deep pass, I think, is one of the most underrated parts of his game. He's actually gotten better at it. Colt McCoy doesn't quite have the same arm strength. So it's interesting because I did an article over at Giants Country about this. What are they losing? And that was definitely one thing I felt that they were losing, is that deep ball threat. The other thing, you know, going back to the athleticism, Daniel Jones, they don't do it very often, but he can execute those zone reads. And, you know, those come in particularly handy down by the red zone when you have an over-aggressive defensive end trying to crash in and knock the guy out of field goal range and whatnot. And Daniel's been able to burn guys with his legs and athletic ability on several occasions when they have run those zone reads. So I think those are the two biggest things they're missing without him, if they don't have him.
Now let's keep looking in the backfield, because obviously Saquon Barkley was lost for the season early. One of my favorite players in the NFL. I'm a running back guy. I've always been wowed by what he can do on the field and in the weight room. It's astonishing what he can do with the lower body lifts and stuff. But they don't have him, but they have still been running the football pretty well here as of late. They've got a nice little trio of backs led by Wayne Gallman, who started at Clemson and kind of has been overshadowed with Barkley's presence, but now he gets his chance to be the guy and seems to be playing pretty well. You mentioned it earlier, though, against the Seahawks defense, with their ability to stuff the run. They've been one of the best in the business. This is kind of a tightrope the Giants have to walk. You've got a really good chance you're playing with a backup quarterback, and you're going against a defense that's really good against the run. Do you still think that they are going to emphasize the run game going into this matchup?
I think they're going to try to. I don't necessarily think they will do a lot of maybe between the tackle runs. I think maybe they'll try and see if they can exploit the edges a little bit more than what they've done in the past. Wayne Gallman, a.k.a. the Wayne Train, who I absolutely love. Anybody who follows me on Twitter probably figures they can count on me once per game to say, I love how Wayne Gallman runs. But it's true, because Wayne Gallman is so good at picking up yards after the first contact. But he's not really an outside runner. So I'm wondering if maybe, even though Gallman's been the feature back, I wonder if maybe we see a little bit more of, say, Deion Lewis, who's more of an outside runner, and maybe they try and test those edges a little bit more, especially, you know, I know Carlos Dunlap has, I guess, a foot injury. You know, maybe do you try and test it and see if he can cut and do all that stuff, or do you try maybe a different direction? I don't know, but I do think they try and stay with the run as much as possible, because that has been their bread and butter.
And then on the outside, the receiving game, obviously Daniel Jones only has 8 touchdown passes this year, so that has not been a strength for this football team. But the Giants do have some weapons on the outside that could create some issues for the Seahawks. And again, this is a defense that gave up record-setting totals for passing yardage the first 8 weeks of the year. They've turned things around a bit, but how do you see Darius Slayton, former Seahawk Golden Tate, and some of the other players that the Giants have on the outside, and of course Evan Engram mixing into this as well, athletic pass-catching tight end, do you see some advantages there going up against the Seahawks secondary in the passing game, even with the backup quarterback being in?
I think so. I think you can make a case for Evan Engram. I mean, you know, it's weird. Evan's had kind of a weird season where when he's been really good, he's been really, really good. And then he comes up with this boneheaded play. Like last week, he had a drop pass, I think, or a deflected pass that went for a turnover. And you sit there and you go, oh, my God, Evan Givith and Evan Givith, and Evan taketh away. But when he's on his mark, he's really good. He's really an asset. Golden Tate, you know, the strength of his game has always been yards after the catch. That's been down somewhat this year, but so have his pass targets. What's interesting, though, you mentioned Darius Slayton. He's been dealing with, and it just came out on the injury report today, or on Wednesday, I should say, the shoulder and a foot injury. And I think that has slowed him down some to where he just hasn't been as effective as you know would like. The guy nobody really mentions, who I think is the secret weapon amongst that receiver group, Sterling Shepard. This guy is a master at finding soft spots in zone coverage. He just has a knack for getting open. He might not get big separation, but he can get open. And once he gets that ball, he can do some things with that sucker in his hands. And he's a guy I would definitely keep an eye on.
Shepard is the player going into this game that I've circled because of his route running ability and the fact the Seahawks have had issues with coverage breakdowns this year. Those are the kind of receivers that give them a lot of problems. The ones that can find the soft spots, understand the coverages they're going against, and they can exploit that. And so him and Engram, Seattle historically has had trouble with tight ends. That was the one issue they had against the Eagles, gave up some big yardage to Dallas Goedert. And so I'm certainly curious to see how those matchups play on the outside and at the tight end position against Seattle's defense. Now, looking at the Giants defensively, I absolutely love the Giants' middle of their defensive line. I've always been a big fan of Leonard Williams, but he's not the only guy there that's causing problems for opponents. And I think one of the big reasons the Giants have been able to hold opponents to under 22 points in five of the last six games, it starts with those guys in the middle, does it not?
I would agree. First of all, we got to give kudos to the entire defense and the job Patrick Graham has done. I mean, this man is a wizard. There's no other way to put it. Some of the looks he shows pre-snap and then post-snap. I mean, you look at it and you don't know what's coming. And it's confused even the most veteran of quarterbacks this year. You know, Sean McVay, the great offensive mind, actually said, you know, back in week four, this defense is a pain to get to prepare for. But going back to your point about the middle of the defense, you know, you've got Dalvin Tomlinson, who is having a career year. He's in a contract year. He's been just outstanding. And then the guys behind him at linebacker, Blake Martinez, you know, I had my doubts about him when they brought him over. I thought, oh, you know, most of his tackles, they were made, you know, so far down the field, so I'm not too impressed with that. He has been a legitimate tackling machine, making a lot of plays closer to the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, you throw in Dexter Lawrence back on that defensive line. He's been all over the place. And just a tremendous job by the middle of the defense. And you can even extend it back to the safeties, Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers. Peppers has, kind of played that pseudo linebacker, if you will, coming up in the box. He's been having a fantastic year. So just really a solid job by the Giants in the middle of the field. And how cool has it been for Giant fans? Because in the past, the middle of the field would be so wide open and we'd sit there and we'd go, no, it's so wide open. And it hasn't been like that this year. So, you know, just a real turnaround for that Giants defense.
You just mentioned several of the players in the secondary, but I'll get to that in a moment. But Blake Martinez, I'm going to admit, I thought that was another gaffe by Dave Gettleman. I agreed with you. I thought his numbers didn't necessarily reflect the type of player that he was, but he has been one of the cornerstones of this defense. And so I'm glad that you pointed that out. And he's a player that the more I've watched him, the more appreciation I have for how darn good of a football player he is. And the other guy on the Giants roster that I feel this way about, I was adamant that when James Bradberry got offered a big contract and signed it, I thought there's no way that he's worth the money that the Giants paid him. But yet, he's done pretty darn well this year on the outside. And this is kind of going to be a redemption game for him of sorts because he had a lot of trouble with DK Metcalf last year when the Seahawks played in Carolina. So he's probably looking forward to this opportunity to really be tested against one of the NFL's best receivers and the guy that most teams have not been able to find an answer for.
Well, I wonder actually if he's going to see DK Metcalf. I mean, Metcalf is the type of guy I think you have to bracket. And if they're going to bracket him, I don't know that I would use Bradberry on the bracket. I would rather see Bradberry go up against Lockett if I'm, you know, drawing up the game plan. and then use a combination of guys to try and take Metcalf off, you know, out of the picture. With that said, I'm not saying that, you know, Bradbury won't or will not, you know, will or won't see Metcalf. I'm sure he will at some point or another. I just know a lot of people ask me, oh, do you think Bradbury is going to, you know, travel with Metcalf? I don't know that you can single this guy up. I really don't. I mean, I haven't gone back and looked at the history, but I would venture to guess the teams that have singled him up have lived to regret it.
He leads the league in receiving yardage and single coverage. But I think part of the problem is if you try to bracket him, then you got to worry about Tyler Lockett and David Moore, who has had a fantastic season as well, and the tight ends, which I'm waiting to wake up. The tight ends have basically been in zombie world all year in the passing game, but they have some really good ones. Maybe this is the game that they finally come to life. Seahawks fans have been waiting. When's Will Dissly going to get it going? You know, Greg Olsen just got hurt a few weeks ago, but he was having a slow start. Colby Parkinson, their fourth rounder, they really like. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it makes it tough on defensive coordinators. But closing this out, you mentioned Logan Ryan. We know that he's played for a lot of good teams. He's got Super Bowl rings from his time with the Patriots. He was on that Titans team that made a surprise run to the AFC title game last year. How much has having that stable veteran back there really helped this entire defense, not just the secondary, but the entire defense, having a guy like that that's been through the fire, he's won championships, how much is this helping this defense with the way they're playing as of late?
Tremendously. You know, I'll start with in the locker room and off the field. Logan Ryan reminds me a lot of Michael Thomas, who was their safety, you know, until he signed with the Houston Texans. Michael Thomas is a good player, not quite on the level of Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan, what he's been able to do reminds me a lot of a former Seahawks defender, Deion Grant, who came over to the Giants, helped them win a Super Bowl. And, you know, you ask anybody in the Giants organization, offense, defense, special teams, coach, administrator, nobody has a bad thing to say about Logan Ryan. And you can just see it when he, you know, he's a regular on the weekly Zoom calls with the media, gives thoughtful answers. He's very intelligent, just has both feet on the ground, a tremendous player and a leader. You know, I fully believe had he been here back in the spring, he probably would have been a team captain. And, you know, one of the debates right now amongst Giant fans is should the Giants bring him back? I say find a way to bring him back. Whatever the guy wants, give it to him. He's just been so worth it.
He's one of those players that I get confused about why, you know, there wasn't, and obviously with COVID that changed things in free agency, but wondering why he was sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And I thought the money he was looking for totally made sense because I've always thought he was a fantastic player. And as you mentioned, really good head on his shoulders, an outstanding leader that's been on a lot of good teams. So I think it would behoove the Giants to try to lock him up and make sure that he's there for future seasons. He's not that old of a player where you have to worry about that. He's still a very good player. I know the Seahawks will be preparing for him going into this game, and I can't wait. Again, if you would have asked me a month ago, I'd have been like, Giants 1-6, but this is a football team. It's different than the rest of this division right now, and Washington's kind of the same as well, but Washington and New York both have been surging, and even though they have 4-7 records, I don't think that reflects how well these teams have been playing, especially the Giants. And so this is a game that I don't even know when to use the terms trap game, because I think the Giants are playing so well that I really think this is going to be a barn burner at Lumen Field coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. For the Giants, they're taking the training wheels off. Now they're going to play some big boys, if you will. Step out of their realm here. We'll see how they do. But you're right. You know, Washington and the Giants, the two teams that everybody kind of left for dead at the start of the season, because all we heard was Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys. Well, guess who's, you know, bringing up the rear, the Eagles and the Cowboys, you know? So, yeah, it's the NFC East, you know, and you remember this probably from years ago when the NFC West wasn't as strong and then they got better. Hopefully the NFC East is going to make a comeback, because I miss the old days when the NFC East was the beast of the East.
Well, the NFC West showed it only takes a year or two when things can really change. There's some good young quarterbacks that are in the division. You're going to get Dak Prescott back in Dallas, and who knows whatever else happens there. And the Seahawks showed back in 2010, it doesn't matter what your record is. You can come in and beat anybody in the playoffs. And Pete Carroll was mentioning that yesterday speaking with the media. So he is well aware of that. They have great respect for what the Giants are doing. So, again, I can't wait for this game. I think it's going to be a fun one. And with both teams playing good defense as of late, we'll see how much offense there actually is in this game. I know Russell Wilson's looking for a bounce-back performance, but it could be a defensive one and a lot of fun to watch. So really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And whatever happens, just remember, Giant fans, it's only one game, and they still have some winnable games coming up, believe it or not. So it should be a good one, and it's a good test. It'll tell us where the Giants are, really are, going up against the type of competition they might potentially face if they get into the postseason.
Thanks to all who listened in. Giants fans, Seahawks fans, enjoy the game this weekend.